Okay, good evening. So we're holding here in the Gemul in the Inyan of Schar, and he says over here like this. We saw last time we were in the paragraph that the eventual Gemul, the ultimate Gemul, is a Gemul for a nefesh and a guf. That is because that's the Tzuras Adam. Omnam we saw bechetos shalom rishon nigzal aminu shekula misa. Chet Adam Rishon, because of the Chet Adam Rishon, everyone was nigzar misa. But oifin shaluchal agil ateva mitis b'lishal yamus, that we will not be able to reach the real schar, the real gemul, without dying first. I want to just say over a vart, Moshe Shapiro Zichrono Livracha said a few times. He said that. It says there's a malach hamavis. Now, how come? What does it mean? There's a malach hamavis. It's the other way around. Misa means not existing. So we could understand that there's a malach hachayim, and therefore you have a malach that creates life, and when he stops working. When he goes on strike, when he leaves, that is a malach of that's misa. What does it mean? There's a malach to misa. Misa is not a state of being. Misa is just a lack of being. So Ramon Shapiro said that malach, that misa is really a temporary state. Chius, chayim, is the natural state of a person. And Misa is a phase within a Chaim. And that's why there's a Malach Hamavis, because it's a Pu'ula. And that's the way it is. Adam was created to live forever. Whatever it means, however it means, that's what Adam was created. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he needs to go through a certain purification process, which will be called Misa. But in the big phase, the big picture, Misa is a temporary state of being, except Rachmanson for the people that have charis that are not meant to be Eimet. But for everyone else, Misa is a temporary phase. Vihine, and he says, because a person can't reach the Toiva Mitis until he dies. Vahinyan, Kihine Nishav Baguf Zuma, She Efshal Shegil Advekas Olyoin, Vyos Zuma Zushuvaboy. Says the person's body has seeped in some sort of tumor, and this happened with the Chet Adam Rishon. It could also be referring to the averus a person did. It leaves him only when he dies and goes back to Ofa, but oz yinokim, and then it becomes purified. And it becomes reconstructed without tumor. But oz toshaba neshama. Now, a mashal, I guess, or something parallel to this idea of Misa being something which is a purifier, and it's more than the Misa, but it's Misa the way he describes it. La'afa. When he goes back to the Afa, there is a musig in Tumah, klicheres are once they become Tumah never leaves them. They latch on to Tumah very strongly. The lashon is adrina. If you re put it back into the furnace that bakes them. Once you reconstruct the new kli, it becomes tahor. So there's a type of tahara, which is realized by reducing something to its first state again. I want to add one more nekuda about this tahara, a little bit of a very fine nekuda, but I think it adds to it. We know that Tumah and Tahara keep are step by step in tandem, and whatever is true in the world of Tahara is true in the world of Tumah, vice versa. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu made an equivalence between the two, and they're equivalent. So now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an equivalence of Tumah and Tahara, it's true as long as the Tahara and Tumah exist in this world. The Etzem Machshav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Etzem Ratzon, the core of anything is Kulei Toiv. So it's true that once this Toiv took on a body, let's go back to the Mashal of Adam, to the Tzuras Adam. It says, Alekai neshama shenesata b'tohairihi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a neshama that's tohar. So the neshama, when it came into the person, is tohar. That's automatic. That's a given. But once it comes into the guf, it takes on the possibility of tumah. So the neshama, as it comes into the guf ha'adam, the etzem neshama itself is tahira. So that nekuda, once the body gets destroyed, you have left that nekuda, and you can rebuild a body that is tahira around it. Meaning tumah affects every single step of the way onwards, but not the atzmius of the neshama. So when we reduce a person, when a person goes back to the offer is the disintegration of the body is metaya the body. It means it gets rid of any impurities, and now the neshama is ready to be clothed again in some sort of guf that is tahar. As long as the old guf, it's not going to get a new guf. And that's, I once heard from Moshe Pirz Reinbach, actually, a hesber. It's a very cute hesber on this point, that sometimes getting rid of something totally is the only way for it to work well. It goes as follows. They asked, doctors knew, it's a Gemara, that a person can live without a spleen, but a punctured or injured spleen is something that is lethal. We pass like that in halacha, nikavat chol is a treifen, nikach nitlat chol is kasha, and it's medically true. The reason that we understand today is that a spleen is not critical for day-to-day life, but if you have a hole in the spleen, it bleeds to death, or whatever. But in the old days, they had like a different, they used to have theories about medicine. So Ramesh once said over, it was kind of very cute, that an old professor from a century ago gave the following hesba as to the difference. He said, every aver in the body has something that can replace it. But as long as the old man is sitting on the throne, he doesn't let the young guy take over. So their understanding was the spleen is replaceable by some other organ. But as long as the spleen is in the body, no other organ is going to kick in and do it. It replace its function. Because as long as the old man is on the chair, he's not letting anybody else in. Once he disappears, then everyone else can get it. So, but the point is, the etzem, the kud of the person is always toiv. It gets reconstructed, and then it's the guf is also tar, and that's how it lives forever. The oztosha Hashem v'yichya, v'yachta v'yir barachayim lanetzach. So, since Tchias HaMesim is the ultimate in the Schar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since Tchias HaMesim needs a guf, that's Tohar, then the only way in which we can have that guf is if it goes through the purification process of Misa. Yehana B'Tev HaMit is Gemai Tchias HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Iyan Tchias HaMesim HaMforsim B'Chol Yisrael. Ba'omnam, Kolzman She'aguf Be'ofa Hoylech Vo'Evitzor HaShoyna, So there's this long period of time that the guf is undergoing its purification. What happens to neshama? Haneshama oimedes bimkoy menucha mzeicha by an oilam haneshamas. So the neshama remains in this world of menucha, which is the oilam haneshamos. And it's able to be masig some of what's going to come afterwards. So after Misa, the guf itself, in the process of a disintegration of the guf, is a tahara for the guf. The neshama is in a makom where it's masig a me'ein of what's less lovely. If we can give a mashal for it, it's similar to the process of an uber b'me'imo, where Aiden, so colloquially, this has become a little bit distorted. Colloquially, we talk about Gan Eden as being the, sort of Yom Shekula Tov and so on. Gan Eden, in its literal sense, as the period of the other phrase for it is called Olam HaNeshamos. Olam HaNeshamos is an anteroom, it's a waiting room for Lasid Lavo. Because while the guf is undergoing its purification, the neshama itself has a place that fits it. And then Lasid Lavo, the neshama comes back to a guf that's Torah and Kaddish, and able to totally allow the neshama to function without blocking it. Okay, the next perek hey is began Eidim v'Gehenim. So he said, I've just described to you a waiting place when neshamas leave the guf. The first one is for menucha. And the other one is for einshin, if the averis prevent the menucha. Now look very carefully how the Ramchal has described it. He's saying not that the person deserves to be punished, and the punishment is for the punishment's sake. The matara is menucha. That is the matara being in the other world. The question is, how do you? I mean, not every neshama can attain the menucha, and therefore some neshamas need to go through some process to allow them to attain the menucha. But the point is, every neshama, the Gehenim is a chitimtza for allowing a neshama to participate in the Torah. So we always look at it that way. We look at this type of punishment as a means to be able to move you forward what you didn't accomplish on yourself. Gan Eden is not one kilo, one place, and that's it. It's rather many madrigas, and these madrigas, in the big categories, are mentioned as far. Yesh Gan Eden Tachton, Gan Eden Elyon. So there are two types of Gan Eden. There's Tachton Elyon. What's the difference between the two? There's the upstairs and the downstairs Gan Eden. So he says, "V'tachton yoishvois haneshamas b'dmus hagufim shoyu behem." The neshamas are in the dmus of the guf, v'nehen neshamin ha'nos ruchnis, v'amokoyim muchon and the person, the neshama is nena from whatever hanos are there. Mamish, the real neshamas, is ruchnias, they have much greater hanos ruchnias than they had down in the bottom. And he says, so let's look at the difference between Gan Eden Elyon and Gan Eden Tachton. I mean, it's something that is ritvat svarim by Chassidim, especially certain Chassidim, then to Ganeinu Tachten, the waiting room where the Rebbe downstairs Ganeinu Tachten, upstairs Ganeinu Elyon. But he's talking over here about two Metzias Ruchnias places where you get schar, and he describes the difference. Let's look back again and see the distinction. One of them, they sit b'dmus haguf. The neshamas are b'dmus haguf, and in the second one, there is no dmus haguf. Let's describe over here what exactly it means. They're not physical entities. A neshama can't look like a body, be'etzem, because a neshama doesn't have a guf. What it means is, we're talking about the inner tzura. So let's take a mashal, the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos on Sanhedrin, where he, in this Hakdamat HaChelek, where he speaks about what about the appropriate way of being mechanech. He's talking about it for a different reason, but he mentioned this, and he says that you start by giving a child candy, and then you move on to giving him money, and then covet, and finally, if he's worthy, you introduce him into the great side of Lishma. If we take a look at the first four categories of rings, food, money, and etc., those are all physical types of hanas, and they're similar to each other in this, even though they're dissimilar in what, but the similarity is they are all of a gufnistic nature. Lishma is something in of a different world. So we can have a hana, a person's in a world where he still senses and understands things through his old perspective. Let's take another mashal. Imagine somebody who becomes frum. Guy becomes a Shem Torah mitzvahs. Never doesn't bother to come to Torah, but he's a real Shem Torah mitzvahs. So he retains a lot of the activities he used to do. He used to eat out in restaurants, he'd eat out in a restaurant. Except the restaurants used to be treif. Now he picks only kosher ones. And so on. He used to hike and bike a lot. He does that on Sunday, not on Shabbos. So those are all activities that are they are physical activities, but there's a difference between the different levels of the activity and so on. The Masha'enke and the Lishma that he speaks about at the end of that, where the food and the covens that, but now it's going to be Lishma, that's totally of a different nature. So a neshama that is in a Gan Eden, and the neshama, quote unquote, resembles the guf. We're not talking about having a nose and ears and eyes. We're talking about something about its metzias is very, very similar to the chulin. The ruchnias is just a refined version of it, but it's not something that's beyond it. That's Gan Eden HaTachta. So it means it's still somehow tied to this world, but it's mahus is ruchnias. Gan Eden HaElyon means it's a certain type of mahus that's beyond the gashmias. It's something that is ruchni and doesn't bear any resemblance to it, like lishma. When a person learns lishma bears no resemblance to any type of physical hana and so on. So that is the difference in Elyon. Like everything Ramchal says, there's a logic to it. There's a reason for it, and the reason is you cannot jump into lishma and into the reward of lishma if you're not prepared for it. The worlds of Ruchnius can only apply to people that are of that caliber, of that cut. And if they're not of that cut, it can't apply to it. So therefore, you need to have Gan Eden that is in line with who you are and what you are. Then he says, V'yeshom chilov zmanah v'sheitim lano shenesim schalfus v'adeg yeshen lene behem. There are different times for different types of hanos and different inyanim. It's interesting. First of all, does this apply to both Gan Eden and Gan Eden Tachten, or just to Gan Eden Ha'elyon? Now, he's basing himself on Chazal. It says, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do the first 3 hours? He plays with this and he plays with that, and so on. So he's copying that. But what we need to ask ourselves is the description of Gan Eden, be this Elyon or Tachten, is that of any significance to his Ikri? I mean, the Gan Eden is a place where the Shamas have Tainug when they're in that world. Okay, that sounds to me very fundamental issue. That, but that the Hana is meted out in terms of different times. So what exactly, what's that coming to tell me? Yes, it's coming to hint it's certainly not part of the Ikka phrase. What does he want with that? I think Chilufei Zmanim, change. Chilufei Zmanim is the root of change. And anytime you have a Chiluf of Zmanim, that's when you can have a different type of you can then have different madrigas in it. So I think he's bringing Chilov Hazmanim to tell me that there is Schar doesn't come in one version. It comes meted out to feed each person and so on. V'agehenim v'amokom l'neshama suris l'oynish v'shama gilam tzamach oivim v'ashachem v'finyana. Gehenim is suffering, and they get the suffering based upon whatever they deserve. V'yesh madrega shayna shal tzar, k'moish yesh madrega shayna shal tainuk. And the different madregas of tzar, it doesn't come in one unit, there are different dargas. U'bat tzara hu yisu achoytim asavayna. And it is with the tzar that the averis of the sinners are forgiven. I would like to possibly say a hezba, and it's not his words, Dafka, but I think it there's an emes to it. How is the tsar the tara of for the averis? It's a double pashtas that all punishments, you know, for averis are there to be mitayah you, to be so on. But what's the kesher? So I think the pshat is, a person who does an avera, the pleasure he has from it is what reinforces the avera. It becomes kavua in his nefesh because of the hana and the tainu. When you remove the hana and the tainu from a person, so then he begins to pull away from it with a seichel. It's not mikoyach the year of the einish. It's mikoyach that I know what's right and wrong. But as long as something was tempting me, I couldn't think of it that way. Now that the field is kind of, we have a level playing field, so now it becomes special. So he says, commercial regular tainus, ubatsaru yisachesavaino. So it's that tsar that purifies the averis from the people who are avaveris. And like we said, when a person does something with a tainuk, that oinig. So anything we do that is pleasant to us, greets our senses as being pleasant, automatically becomes attached to the person. Very, very hard to get disattached. So he says, but when you have an equal amount of tsar, you become disattached with it. Remember in the schar hakach hine yitar mekhatel khnucha Loy Ansher Abdom. If the Zeicha Teschar, they go up, you know, to Gan Eden. If not, they can be punished at Avdom. So yes, there's a Mishnah ve'elein chegolim haba. That's obviously what he's referring to. But Klal Yisrael, he's trying to answer a stira. It says Klal Yisrael shem chegolim haba, and then it says those who don't. So how does that fit with Klal Yisrael shem chegolim haba? You just quite a lovely list in Sanhedrin, the Mishnayos, the Braisa, the Gemara, about the people that are. Nidain forever. There's the Nakuda is Klal Yisrael is pure chiyus. That's the atzmius. Klal Yisrael Shachem Haba means Klal Yisrael's mitzius is chayim, and that's why it requires a zardin, it requires a punishment to take the person out of it. Just like the difference between how much do I do for a person that's in need. If it's my child, then I need to have a reason not to do something. My natural instinct, my natural obligation is to do for him or her. But if there are times when I say, I've got to disengage, I've got to let him or her worry about herself, and so on. A stranger, the other way around. It's not me, it's somebody else. And if there's a reason that I need to support them, I need to support them. But Dovah Kersol Ma'at tells me something about what the starting mitzias of Klal Yisrael is. Is the starting mitzias of Klal Yisrael toif, then... there are many safety nets, and there's tshuva and so on. So for him to fall, it goes against the grain of the mitzvah zechayi. So it could happen. There are ve'elish enam chelik, but by and large, it's not like that. Mashayin kibos olam, they could earn olam haba. They can earn rewards, but it's not them coming back to their natural state. It's something they acquired. So just like somebody's born to a wealthy family, he could be disowned. You know, if he's bad enough, they could decide whatever it is. But even Chloe, we look at it, this is him, this is his. The same thing is with Klal Yisrael. Our natural state of being is to be Eved Hashem, and requires a much more variety, so to speak, against them. Okay, any questions? Good. So we'll hold it here. And we're holding the Hashgacha. It's a small safe, and Be'ez Hashem will be able to finish it at some good point. Okay.